There are a few more comments on these chapters of Isaiah 36 to 39 to be found in the special issue of the Testimony in 2014. And I'm going to read some extracts from the article by Brother Mark Alfrey. The historical narrative provides no further detail than this, that is, that Sennacherib came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. But we know from the testimony of Sennacherib himself, recorded on the so-called Taylor Prism, now housed in the British Museum, that this was no minor skirmish. It was a devastating invasion, and Sennacherib boasts of taking 46 of Hezekiah's strong-walled towns by means of earth ramps, battering rams, the assault of foot soldiers, breaches and siege engines. He claims to have taken 700,000 odd people captive and innumerable horses, mules, donkeys and camels as spoil, and he boasts about shutting up Hezekiah like a caged bird within the royal city of Jerusalem. And he goes on to give details of the onslaught against Lachish that he says takes the brunt of that onslaught by Sennacherib. And we know in great detail about what Sennacherib did to Lachish because of the Lachish reliefs, also housed in the British Museum, which the king of Assyria had made to commemorate the defeat of Lachish, and which at one time adorned the walls of the royal palace in Nineveh. And in remarkable detail, they show the Assyrian bowmen, stone slingers, and spearmen advancing up ramps towards the city, siege engines and siege towers being used against the city walls, the desperate inhabitants of Lachish throwing down stones and flaming torches from the city walls, the Assyrians pouring water over their siege engines to prevent them catching fire, prisoners being tortured and executed, a long line of prisoners being packed into carts with their belongings ready to be carried away captive, and some of the captives of Lachish being flayed alive, others being impaled upon spikes outside the city walls, and others bringing tribute to Sennacherib, who is seated on his ivory throne, surveying the scenes. And it seems that Lachish was singled out for particular brutal treatment by the Assyrian hosts. And perhaps Micah gives an indication as to why God allowed this to take place. Micah 1. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Lachish appears to have been one of the cities where the idolatry practiced amongst the 10 northern tribes first found a foothold in the kingdom of Judah. Later on, he makes some comments on Hezekiah's sickness. He says, it should be noted that Hezekiah's sickness coincided exactly with the Assyrian siege of Jerusalem, and verse 6 confirms this. That's in Isaiah 38. Thus, whilst the very existence of the city was under threat, Hezekiah himself, who was shut up inside the city like a bird in a cage, was fighting for his life. And the obvious question to ask is, why had God allowed such calamities to happen at all? Why did God allow the kingdom of Judah to be virtually wiped off the map during the reign of one of the greatest of its kings? And why did God afflict Hezekiah with this terminal illness at exactly the same time? It would seem that in spite of Hezekiah's great spiritual reformation instituted in the first year of his reign, there were serious problems within the kingdom as a whole. The nation was a nation of hypocrites. That's chapter 10, verse 6. And Isaiah depicts them in chapter 30 as a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They were guilty of oppressing the poor, the fatherless, and the widows, and rather than trusting in God, as Hezekiah did, they chose to put their trust in Egypt, from whence they'd come. But what of Hezekiah himself? Why did a faithful king become sick unto death at this very time? It must be because as their king and figurehead, he stood as representative of the nation as a whole. In spite of his own personal faithfulness, God was using Hezekiah to teach the people that they were a nation that was spiritually sick. In Isaiah 1, the spiritual state of the nation is described in terms of a leprous man at the point of death. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, and the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So the personal sickness of Hezekiah was a striking, visible illustration of this fact. We know that Hezekiah was afflicted with boils, because in chapter 38, Isaiah commanded that they put a lump of figs on the boil. Significantly, the word, the Hebrew for boil, is used four times in the leprosy laws of Leviticus. It would thus seem likely that Hezekiah was afflicted with a form of leprosy. And if that is true, it is significant that two of the kings with whom Isaiah was contemporary, Uzziah and Hezekiah, each had leprosy at some point in their lives. God was using the kings to teach his people that they were a nation of sinners, and unless that was rectified, the kingdom would not prosper. And finally, he has a paragraph on the ambassadors from Babylon. Isaiah 39 is really a sequel to the story. Hezekiah had been delivered out of the hands of the Assyrians. Boy, the more he'd been granted an extension to his own life, one would have expected him to seek to make the most of his remaining days and devote himself in service to his God. But it seems that in his declining years, to some extent, his trust in God faltered. He received a deputation from the king of Babylon and found it difficult to resist the temptation to boast of the glory of his house and his treasures, all of which had been given to him by God. Concerning this matter, the Chronicles account says that God left him to try him that he might know that all was in his heart. The prophet Isaiah was sent to the king with another message from God that his descendants would be taken away to Babylon together with all his riches, to which Hezekiah replied, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." This sequel serves as a salutary lesson to us all. Hezekiah knew that his life had been extended for 15 years, but none of us knows how much time he or she has left in this life, and it behoves us to make the most of each day and to give ourselves wholeheartedly to the service of the Lord. We must be faithful to the end. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Those were some comments by Brother Mark Allfree, which appeared in the Testimony magazine for May 2014.